You are listening to the Frillo Bros Tech Podcast, Episode 80, a timeline on and of your cell phone. Speaking of phones,
that will change the world.
There was another little phone announcement that happened this week, which we teased last week, and now we know about this week. That's the old Facebook phone.
Yeah.
It's here.
Oh, kind baby. Of. We've been talking about, how long have we been talking about the Facebook phone? Well, probably as long as we've been doing this podcast. Well, honestly,
yeah,
though.
Facebook a year, Mark Zuckerberg almost a year ago said that Facebook wasn't working on a phone.
That's right.
And I think the comment was, yeah, Facebook's not working on a phone until there's a phone. And because that was classic Apple, right? We're not working on books. Oh, what's this?
Yeah. Nobody reads books anymore. And yeah, obviously. Yeah.
And no one reads books anymore because they didn't have this system. And now that they have it, they will read.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is kind of true. But yeah. Yeah. Totally. I'll be honest, Kindle store is better. But anyways.
Oh yeah, dude. I use Kindle for all of my phone apps, but
yeah.
The only downside is that you can't buy books in the app. That kind of drives me nuts, and that's all Apple's fault.
Well, you know. Yeah, which is it is what it is.
You know what? That's exactly what I was going to say.
So anyways, Facebook came out with not a phone, but a Facebook app for Android.
Yeah.
Now, they already have an app for Android. But the difference is that this is an, what do they call it? It's like an app launcher.
Yeah.
This essentially is called Facebook Home. Yeah, where essentially it just runs on top of Android all the time, which you can turn it off if you wanted to. But when you turn on the phone, you see this. On the lock screen, you see this. When you launch an app, that sounded really weird. When you launch an app, it launches through this through Facebook Home.
Right.
I don't own an Android, which is very obvious. And so I don't fully understand what that means. So it's like it's even different than like a skin on top of Android.
Well, let me dive in for a little bit here, because so basically how Android works is there's a couple different levels of it. You have the chipset that runs on your kind of classical ARM architecture. It runs the Delvik virtual machine, which essentially runs an Android version of Java. That Java runs the operating system, runs the apps and everything else, and that's why everything is written in Java for Android, or not Java, but you know, Java. That's what the whole lawsuit was over. Thing is that you can run stuff a little bit closer to the chipset. There are developers, like game developers, do write little applications that actually run on the ARM architecture, and it's because when you do that and avoid the virtual machine, it allows you to process stuff faster. So like making polygons and doing calculations for high intensity graphics games, it builds a better graphics. But most people don't do that because it takes a lot of time, and every phone is different. So it's very unpredictable. It's a big investment of time and resources without necessarily a big payoff, which is the problem with the fragmentation. But on top of that, so you've got Android, you've got the stock Android, but Android happens to be an open source, thing that people can go around and play with. So companies like Samsung go in and they change Android and they add their own stuff and they add their own features. It's like the swipe to keyboard. The reason why Samsung's the only one that's got the swipe to text keyboard is because that's their program that they added on top of Android. And they've got their own little widgets that you can't get rid of, and it's kind of annoying. And they've got their own stuff. Well, Facebook basically is going in and saying, when you download this app or this skin, we're going to go in and we're going to tear out all of those other widgets and stuff that everybody else has put on there, and then we're going to just put all of our stuff in that place. And so in some ways it runs like it runs between you and Android, and it's it'd be like, yeah, it in some ways it's just little switches of the skin. In some ways it's deeper integration, but you know, it's deeper than an app, but it's not a completely new operating system, as it was described by
Yeah, so essentially you start this bad boy up, and it's got photos, and it's your photo stream, or it's your stream or your news feed, essentially, that if it's just a regular status update, it has the person's cover photo on the background, and if they've shared a picture, it shows the picture along with the description of it. And which is kind of cool, and it takes up the whole screen, and we'll kind of do this Ken Burns kind of scrolly thing back and forth for you, the picture. So eventually, over time, you'll see the whole thing. And then at the bottom, it's got a picture of your face, which you tap on it. You can either make a phone call, you can send a message, or you can open up the app launcher. And then when you open up the app launcher, it's got basically it has – I think it was three different things, where it's got like your Quick Launch apps, and then you can swipe over to get all of your apps. And there was one other one, which I don't remember what it was now. And so, you know, so, and then from there you can launch your apps like normal. One of the things that this also does, which is just a very well implemented multitasking, is the Facebook messaging is a huge piece to it, which integrates in with your text messages. So all of your contacts on your phone will use this, and it'll sync up with their Facebook accounts nicely. And basically what will happen is if someone sends you a text message or a Facebook message, their face pops up on your screen as a little circle on the side, no matter what app you're in. If you're in a game, on the home screen, whatever, it'll be there. And then when you tap on their face, it essentially will – it will show you the message that they sent, and then you can reply right there. You don't have to leave the app. You don't have to go to – you don't have to disrupt what you're currently doing. It just is layered right on top, multitask-like. And yeah, and so that was the big thing, if I remember correctly. I'm trying to remember what else there was – if anything, because I'm like, what else does Facebook do? And, yeah. You know, obviously you can also go to your email if you wanted to, or you can go to, you know, to the actual Facebook app and look at all of the updates and stuff. Another one is they made it super easy for you to post. Oh yeah. On that app launcher, it also has the ability to quickly add a status update, to add a photo, or to check in somewhere. And so that's just, nice. You know, sitting right there, ready for you to go. It's got all your notifications, like normal, and things like that. Now, they are initially partnering with a singular company. It's doing it with the HTC first.
Right.
But they do say, which is using Jelly Bean on there, but Facebook's goal is to eventually, pretty much you can use it on any Android device, and they're just slowly going to qualify those phones as they're going along.
Right.
It'll just be a free download that they'll advertise through the Facebook app. So if you're on Android and your device is compatible, you'll see a little thing, hey, download this app and check it out. I think that's essentially it. Am I forgetting anything?
I don't think you're forgetting anything.
So what do you think?
My first reaction is if I had an Android phone, I'd totally try it out. Whatever. Facebook is this is such a fascinating. Okay. I'm gonna take this from two.
So I guess let me add one more thing. I just thought of it before you get too far down. Is just kind of the overriding philosophy of what they're going for here. They say a lot of times your phone revolves around apps, and that's the way that things are ordered. And their goal with this one is to really put your relationships and your friends first and have them ordered that way, which is a cool vision. I'm sure they're still building towards that and what that means, since they obviously still have an app launcher is a big part of it. But it's this idea of put your friends first and foremost to really immerse you in at least the visual aspect of Facebook is kind of how they're looking at going here.
You know, I'll be totally honest. Like, I think if I could get – I get updates from Facebook on my friends and stuff on my news feeds. I don't get a lot, but I don't have any problem with the idea of that. And I think it's kind of a cool idea of, like, just constantly updated, you know, content that's being generated by your friends. Like, I don't know. There's different – I think what – my first reaction to this is, I don't know how well this is going to be received, and I'd like to play around with it, as I could totally see this to be the type of thing that I would turn on and just leave on. And I am not like a big Facebook addict by any means. It just is, you know, I check Facebook probably, you know, once or twice. I probably check Facebook once a day. I check it less than I check email. But I like it, and I like to be able to see what's going on, and I like Instagram, and I like Twitter, and I like Path, and I like, you know, I like content. I like reading stuff. It's just part of my, like, going through of everything. And I, you know, if Reddit made it Reddit Home, I probably would try that out too. It's one of those things.
That's an interesting thing. That if did they set a trend here, where now all of a sudden there will be apps where it's like, yeah, we made an app, but we also made a launcher. I guess right. It kind of depends on how hard it was to do this. But I could see where Google's like, well, I guess they theoretically already have one. But you know, they you know, but they do like maybe a specific Google Plus type of thing where they're going to put those things up front, or other community type things.
Right. And that, it's funny. That actually was my first thought on this was, wow, this is pretty awesome. Like, this is, you know, this is, you know, straight out of
art. Makes fun, maybe.
Right. Cool. And that is, you know, it's a cool idea. I actually like
Pinterest.
The idea. Oh, yes. Man. I actually really like the idea of this type of, we're going to have a, we're going to have content flowing onto your screen. I think that this is a winning idea. The question will be, do people want, you know, Facebook is kind of in this weird position right now where, you know, I don't know, people don't seem as excited about it. There's not as much goodwill towards Facebook as it is there once was.
That's because it's amazing.
Right.
And I think there's also massive, just like we were talking about earlier with the CMA communications, I think there's some pretty big questions around privacy. Where Facebook has officially come out and said, well, we're not going to pay attention to apps and stuff. But you're like, really? You're not going to watch what apps I'm opening and what I'm using all the time and things like that? Really?
Right.
I don't know about that. You don't. They don't strike you as that kind of company. Where,
right.
Yeah, they may not today, but they're going to push the envelope, and they're going to slowly open it up on you, and they're going to learn about your – I think another one Malik, who's kind of been in a bad mood lately because he was hating on Google like 2 weeks ago, and now he's hating on Facebook. because Google killed Reader, which he uses all the time.
Yeah.
And then, like, Google announced a new product, and he's like, nope, I don't trust you. It was that notebook one or whatever it was.
Right.
But anyways, but he was like, I don't think that they're going to keep it private. He's like, they're going to know where I'm at. They're going to know what photos I'm taking.
Well, the irony of this is
he went as far as to be like, Facebook's going to know if you are, if they notice for like a week that your phone stays completely still from 10 p.m. to 6 p.m. in the same exact spot for a week, they're going to know where you live. And they're going to start putting these puzzles and pieces together. And they're going to recognize when you go to, you know, these different stores a lot, and they're going to know what stores they are. And, you know, if you check in with a friend, who your local friends are. And, you know, and so he was getting, okay. I think, overly paranoid on this stuff.
First off.
And, but I could see where he's like, because it's Facebook, you go, yeah, they have at least thought about doing that. You know what I mean? And then said, no, we probably shouldn't because there'd be privacy concerns.
Okay. I need to interject here because this is the thing.
Do it.
They already do that. The idea that you downloaded Facebook and signed into your Android phone and gave them permissions for your locations and the rest of – and to get into your contacts, which is what the Facebook app does, is it gets all that information. It's directly integrated into your iOS. If you have an iPhone
– Android?
And you, well, if it doesn't –
well,
on
they're
both
not
phones.
Getting that information on iOS.
Yes, they are. Are you kidding me? They totally
constantly?
Give your location
not
services.
My phone. It doesn't – it doesn't ping my locations all the time. It only does it when I open the app.
Did you turn down for your – did you sign into the iOS integrated stuff where you can like you can change your Facebook status from your notification center?
Yes.
Okay.
So I turned on my phone. It's not doing location right now. So
all
right.
So then, okay. You're right. They can't do it if your location services aren't turned on because they didn't turn it on. But the idea
you're saying every single time I check in with my location, no matter where I am, no matter what app I'm using, they get access to that data?
I'm pretty sure they do. Well, okay, wait a second. The idea that what I'm saying is he is talking about the idea of them tracking everything constantly. And the thing is that you're not going to – the situation's not going to be any different than if you have the Facebook app for your iPhone. So if they can't track you right now, they can't track you right now. Your location services aren't on right now. If your – and same goes with the Android version of the Facebook. If the location services aren't on, they don't have any access to your location services. But if it's on – when it's on, everybody gets access to it. That's why they ask you for permissions for your location services because it's, you know, that's what's going on. Now, what's interesting is if they don't turn it on, if you don't see the little thing pop up, that probably means nobody's accessing it right now. But it kind of is at this point. It's the only reason why they don't have access to that information is because they don't turn it on. It's not that you haven't given them permission, and it's not that they don't use that information as much as possible whenever they can. It's just one of those things where it's like, and this is no different. You're already there.
I feel like we're talking about slightly different things, but that's okay.
Well, you see, but he's freaking out about the idea that they will turn it on and constantly leave it on all the time so that they can track everything. But they already
Google does with their navigation stuff.
Exactly. But the thing is that they already can do that and they don't. So either the expectation is they still won't, or they're already have figured out a way to get that information and use that information without, you know, figuring out what, you know, doing or without turning it on.
So I see what you're saying, and I agree with you that the fears are unfounded. I'm just saying it's Facebook. And so you instantly think the worst and then have to back off of it because that's how they tend to act.
Okay,
they might be acting correctly on smartphones, mostly because they've gotten, they've been shown how to act, in terms of location and stuff like that. But on their website, man, they're constantly pressing the envelope on what's private and what's not, and what's shared and what isn't.
I have no expectation that they're acting right on smartphones. I think they've just gotten really good at hiding it.
Fair enough.
I think they're very devious.
Which is still a reason to be concerned, regardless of Facebook Home, I guess. Other than, like, on iOS, it's a different story, right? Because you've got to have the app open because it doesn't multitask like Android does. I don't know what the Android situation is, but at least on iOS, it's different. Because they freeze stuff. They don't let apps just kind of – or they'll let them complete whatever it is that, list of seven things that can be multitasked.
there's a surprising amount of stuff that they can do in the background. Location services is an interesting one. But the classic Android malware are apps that, if we just stick with the Android for a second, the classic Android malware are apps that track everything you do. They get access to your contacts list. you know, you download this like stupid coin flip game and it gets access to your contacts list, your location services, all the other apps you're using, everything. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where if Facebook's not doing that right now, which I think they're not doing as much as they could because they don't need to, they're to get the information that they want. The fact is that they could, and they, you know, you're not giving them anything more than they already have and need. And the idea that Facebook doesn't know where you live just because you didn't put the address in there is absurd. It's the same with Google. And I love the, you know, it's just like, I don't know. The idea that these companies can't figure it out very quickly when a random Google, you know, when somebody Facebook stalking you can, or not Facebook, when somebody just Google stalking you online can figure out where you live in 30 minutes, Facebook can do it automatically with their servers in five. Like, it's just, you know, it's not even a, I don't know. It's such a weird game that everybody plays with this privacy stuff. And which, you know, I know we are in this unique little position sometimes because we're not just okay with it. We're advocates for it. But a lot of it is because there's just no way to stop it. You can't, what are you supposed to do? You use any of these services, any of them, and they'll figure it out and then they'll share it with everybody. because up until a week ago, the Supreme Court said that, you know, all the FBI has to do is send a stupid letter to Google and Google has to give up the information. So they sent out 30,000 of them. Why? Or 300,000, whatever the ridiculous number. I think it was 300,000. The ridiculous number was. Or it's just like, I don't have any constitutional protection of this information that Google has. I mean, of course not. You gave it to Google. Why would you get it? It's no longer private. It's in Google. Oh, shoot. I didn't think about that, I guess. You know, and what if Google wants to protect it? Well, it's not their information. It's yours. Wait a second. You know, it's just sort of like, I don't know. To me, it's like, does it give me a cool benefit? And then, okay, they already know everything. I guess I'll just deal with it. I'll figure out a way to sleep at night. I don't know. What do you think about it? What are your thoughts? You haven't told us that yet.
Yeah, so I think it looks cool. I like some of the animations. And my initial thought was, man, if I actually used Facebook regularly, I could see this as pretty useful.
But then I was like, what everybody's saying.
I like it. It's better than you just having a black screen or a static background picture, I suppose, which is really kind of the big difference. But at the same time, it's like, I'd like to have a little more control of when it's on and when it's off. And with this, it's always on and always in your face. And, you know, they're going to get good about showing me pictures that I find interesting, which is good, except for the fact that, you know, I've got stuff to do.
I can't
always be surfing Facebook. I like their multi-chat.
Yeah.
The way that I don't want to call that. The multitasking piece with the chat bubbles. I mean, it's a little cartoony, and I think other companies will mimic it, but make it a little more streamlined, and I think it'll go better. But I like that idea. And I think that there are other apps that could make a whole lot of sense for. You know, you think in terms of emails or calendaring events or... Yeah. Even just, you know, whatever other types of alerts where you can add a quick action in the alert. I think all of those are good ideas where you don't actually leave the whatever it is that you're currently working on unless you choose to. I think those are cool ideas, and I think you'll see a lot of smartphones start to adopt those. I don't know what you would call them, mini apps or applets, perhaps.
I really like the idea of a – what was I going to say? I can't remember.
I don't know. But anyways, so I like it. I think a lot of people will download it. I don't look at it as a fork of Android like some people were talking about.
Yeah.
You know, no more than what's currently going on, and they seem to be doing just fine.
They're not being nearly as brutal about it as the Kindle fires are. You know, where it's just like there's like no trace of Android left by the time, you know, they get done with it. I don't know.
But I think part of that is Facebook is hoping to keep Google as a friend.
Right.
Because they want to get on their goggles and other stuff. Right. And well, so they're not going to totally co-op them.
But at the same time, this is like a direct affront to Google Plus. Like, that to me is one of the most interesting things about this. And nobody's really talking about it. But the idea that it's like...
Oh, that's because it doesn't matter.
What do you mean?
I think everyone at Google knows that.
Well, yeah, but to Google, this is a big deal. I mean, Google, you know, they're all of their emphasis. If it is Google Plus is the only thing that matters. Like, really, outside of Google Search and Google Plus, only two projects that matter. And really, the only reason why Google, you know, Search matters is because it pays for Google Plus, which makes Google Search better. You know, it's like one of those things where I don't know. You're basically taking like. Like you said, I think Google is going to take a cue from this and think, wow, we need to get serious about bringing your social aspects to it. Because I think that there are some clever ideas that they're putting forward. And, you know, it's like the idea of we'll put your friends first. We'll put your social first. We'll move, you know, your apps will be there, but we're going to change the priorities of your phone. I don't know. It's a clever way to look at it, and it's one of those things where, you know, Facebook's always there. You know, we're gonna look at Google Plus, and I think I think that, man, honestly, like the other thing that they're doing, and I really like the idea of a better messaging system. I don't know how much. I don't think there's a lot of promise in this really with this whole Facebook Home, but it kind of turns me to this idea of. You know, I wish it was possible, or I wish Apple would do like they do a unified mailbox. I wish they would do a unified messaging system where you've got texting, you've got iMessaging, you've got Facebook messaging, you've got Google, what's it called? You got Gmail messaging. I wish you could put all those things together into a single app, and you just sign into them all, and it manages like everything was a different text messaging conversation. The idea of being able to tie, and then kind of what spun me off on this, is the idea of tying your text message conversations together with your Facebook conversations where it's the same tool would make the Facebook chatting more useful. And I really like that because I like that functionality. I think that that's good, and I think it's something that people can really, I think we could benefit from that kind of stuff. I wish there was more integration, and that's one of the things that I like about this is it's just more integration. It's more tying it all together, and really and truly, like that was the biggest promise of early on, especially of the Windows 8 phone was that like. You know, you sign into one, you know, area and all of your feeds and everything are tied together, Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. It's like, well, it's beautiful. And a lot of people seem to like that a lot, you know, because it's all tightly integrated. So, I don't know. I like what the Facebook is doing. And I think, you know, a lot of the concerns about the fragmentation issue is an interesting one because this one isn't app fragmentation so much as it's UI fragmentation to an extraordinary degree. The argument that it was being made in one of the articles I read was the idea that, you know, you pick up an iPhone, everybody who knows how to use an iPhone knows how to use every other iPhone and iPad and everything else.
There's nothing wrong with having multiple things because you don't tend to pick up multiple phones and iPads. You pick up yours. And so as long as you understand how yours works, I think it's okay.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, I think it's just it's interesting. I'm actually I hope well for Facebook. I hope that things go pretty for them, but we'll see.
I could tell that was hard for you. I could tell your fanboyism, man. That took a lot for you, didn't it?
To say I hope it goes well for Facebook.
I could tell you didn't want to concede that.
I don't know. I mean, it's a. I guess I'm hesitant in that it's they don't. Mark doesn't have the flair for explaining stuff like some.
He's like gotten a whole lot better though.
Yes, he's gotten tremendously better. That's true. He's hired people, but he doesn't have that like that worldview of the whole. I think I always got the feeling that Steve Jobs started with the ad campaign and then everything like flowed from there. You know, and he just was so good with technology that he knew what you could say. He knew what you could get away with and then would push his engineers to do it. But he was all about the message, whereas this is like – I think this is a good product, and I think it's a good idea. I think it will drive other developers to imitate it in a lot of ways.
Totally.
Including Google itself, and I think it'll I think it's a little too late for iOS 7, but I could definitely see a lot of these ideas being integrated in iOS 8, you know, where you know your different things are being updated with other content from either Twitter or Facebook or more directly, you know, or like an integrated messaging system. But I think that at the same time they didn't hit that message out there. And I feel like, and maybe that's the fault of the media. I don't really know. You know, maybe that's just, everybody's like, Facebook phone, Facebook's on the way out. Everybody's using Instagram instead now because all the kids think Instagram is awesome. Like, Facebook owns Instagram, you know, and that's the other thing that I've been, like, for whatever reason, that's just been the drumbeat this week is, like, kids don't use Facebook anymore. Facebook is on the outs. And you're like, yeah, they just use other Facebook products that don't have Facebook tags on them. Or they log into everything through Facebook, and then Facebook advertises through those other apps and still makes all the money. Like, I don't see what the problem here, guys. Like, they seem to be doing okay with their strategy. So, I don't know. I feel like the reception was very tempered by an overall cool attitude towards Facebook, although it is a good product and I think it's interesting. I think it's a good idea.